to my father and the Lord and his mommy for this privilege. I will not take it for granted. And thank you, church, for the privilege to teach. How about our heads to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for taking us out in the morning and bringing us back safe and sound. Thank you for all the places we've gone to. Thank you for the privilege to gather here to learn at your feet. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. Make this word simple enough for every one of us to understand. We pray for those who are, we thank you for those who are here already. And we pray for those who are on their way here. Father, we ask that we quicken their steps here. Make every one of us a partaker of your blessings the fullest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, tonight I will be sharing with us on what I call receiving from God. Receiving from God. Now, you may be wondering that, okay, why is he talking around this? Because I know that God is always giving, but we have a problem with receiving. God says he will supply all our needs according to riches in glory to Christ Jesus. But we still find out that we have needs that are not met. Despite the promise of God that all, he will supply all our needs. David said in Psalm 23 verse 1, said, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. Now all of us must get to that experience where we lack nothing. But the challenge is this. We must know how to receive from God. Let's take our text from Mark 11 and we'll read verse 23 and 24. Mark 11, 23 and 24. And it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. 24, he said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what? You will have them. You will have them. Now, one of the things I like us to realize is that after you go born again, something spectacular happened in your life, and you must understand that. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, Colossians 1, 3, in James' version, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness, and hath translated us into what? The kingdom of his dear son. So when you give your life to Christ, there was a switch in kingdom. You moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. And in every kingdom, there's a king. And when there's a king, provisions are made and there are instructions or guidance on how to relate within the kingdom. So when we move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, there are specific things we need to know on how our needs will be met. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things I'd like you to appreciate is in four different parts of the Bible, which I'll just say, but I will not read them. Four different parts of the Bible in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Habakkuk 2, 4, book of Romans chapter 1, 17, the book of Galatians 3, 11, and the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. All these four scriptures finished by saying something very important. He says, but the just shall live by faith. But Habakkuk 2, 4, went a little further to specify in details. He said, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Now, why is what we're sharing this evening very important? It is important because it gets to a point in our walk with God that everybody must learn how to get things from God by himself. When we had our first child, she did not, you know, she and her younger sisters, when they were like 10, 11, she was like 10, 11, went to see my parents back home in the village. And then my mother, one of them had started running temperature. And my mother took them to the hospital, three of them, I have three girls. Now, big girls now. One of them is even married now. Now, about that time, they were like 10, 11. The elders were like 10, 11. And I took, so my mother called me and said, your daughter said to me they don't take injections when they go to the hospital. And I said to my, and then she said, what do I do? I said, no, mom, they've never have a need for an injection. He said, but if they need one, please let the doctor give it to them. I don't know whether you understand that. Now, see, you get to a point in life when your husband, your wife, your parents cannot help you again. You need to begin to live by your own faith. They can carry you for a while. You know, the church you belong to, if it's a good one, they can carry you for a while, but they can't carry you forever. Everybody must learn how it works. Now, not only in the spiritual, even in the physical. You see, no matter how much you love your wife, you can't eat for your wife. I don't know whether that's what I'm saying. Your wife cannot tell you, oh, honey, I'm so busy. Can you please eat for me? It doesn't work that way. There are basic things in life that we must learn how to do for ourselves. And the spiritual, one of them is, the Bible says, the just shall live by his faith. Now, Christianity is not our idea. It is God's idea. It is God's idea. It is God that put it in place. It was God that created the heavens and the earth and make man his glory by making us to be in charge of the earth while he lives in heaven. So it's not our idea. It's not something that we can settle down and say, I want to run by myself. So if it's not our idea, we need to take instructions. And the person that created the heavens and the earth says, the way you're going to live is to live by faith. Praise the Lord. Now, so he says the just shall live by faith. So who is a just person? To be just is means the same thing as to be righteous. To be righteous, the same thing. Now, and when you say a man or a woman is righteous, what does it imply? It implies that you now have the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. Now, how did you get to that point? The whole story about our redemption is about God restoring man to the position where he fell from. Praise the Lord. So if a man or a woman is born again, he or she also immediately receive what they call the gift of righteousness. So if you're righteous or you're just, there is no other way to live except by faith. Except by faith. And so if you don't understand it, you need to begin to learn how it works. Or if you have been one leg in, one leg out, you need to stabilize yourself and say, look, I have no choice now. I must learn how it works. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6, he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, talking about God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're talking about receiving from God. So when you understand how faith works, and you diligently seek him, he begins to put things along your way, and it's easy for you to get. Now, one of the things I like to realize is that everything in life has an approach to it. It has an approach to it. If you get to a point where you think, any way it will work, then you get in trouble. You know, people think that because God is sovereign, that anything goes, he can do anything. And how come he has not done things for me the way I want him to do it? The truth is that you need to learn how it works. That's the way it works. If you get out of here now and you're going to somewhere in New York, there are specific routes you have to take. If you don't take those routes, you may end up somewhere else. I don't know whether you understand what I'm talking about. There's a particular route to travel. You know, I've been discussing a lot with Pastor during this my little visit about aircraft and how accident-free it is, has the safest means of transportation. I didn't even know there's a path to travel. I thought they just get in the air and start flying in one direction, and then it's like there's a path you have to travel. And that's how life is. There's a path you need to travel. And all of us are not on the same lane. So you can't even copy. Praise the Lord. And because you can't copy, you need to go to God and receive your own the way it works. Proverbs 14:12, he said there's a path. NLT now. It says Proverbs 14:12. Okay, he said there is a path before each person. There is a path before each person that seems right. He says that seems right. He says, but the end is what? Death. It doesn't mean you will die, but that thing will lead to destruction. You will not get to your place in destiny. There's a path you enter that you will never get to where you're going. Just like there's a road you enter, you will never get to New York, even though that's your target. Not too familiar with places around here, but you may end up in Philadelphia or end up in Canada or somewhere. And no matter how long you travel on the wrong road, you can never get your destiny. Praise the Lord. And that's why understanding how to receive from God by faith is very, very crucial. Very, very crucial. Very, very important. You know, we were just sharing yesterday. I had the story from him before, and I wrote it down in my notes, and he shared it again with me yesterday about a young pilot who is supposed to graduate. And part of the things you're going to do is to travel from maybe the East Coast to the West Coast, flying, and then the guy took off, shut his cot, and then was flying. But because he didn't hear anything from the control room again, he routed himself and moved a little higher. And then suddenly, from the control, they said, identify yourself. By the time he identified himself, they told him, you're traveling on the path of a jumbo jet, and he's flying with all the small jets. Now, see, there is a path created for everyone. What I'm saying is that part of the things you need to know is to receive enough to find that path and stay there. And stay there. Once you begin to go out of that, you go into error. You may end up in the path of a jumbo jet, something that can consume you, something that can destroy you. And the fact that God is not speaking, let me digress and say this, the fact that you are not hearing God again does not mean you're wrong. If you're going, just like your GPS, if you're on the right route and you have not reached a point where you need to make a turn, the thing goes quiet. Am I right? It goes quiet. Now, when it gets to a point where you need to make a left or a right, it begins to speak again. So sometimes it looks as if the voice of the Holy Spirit is quiet in our lives. It doesn't mean you're out of course. You're on course. There's no need to tell you move left or move right. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand that as we continue. Now, tonight I'd like you to get some things right. Now, if you're going to get anything from God, everyone who wants to receive from God must understand that there's a particular way to receive from God. And I mean receive everything. Everything. You must understand that God does not just start thinking about how to get things done for you when you ask. You know, people think that when they say, Lord, I need something. Now God called in Jeremiah, Gabriel, and said, okay, oh, so this my son needs a car. So what do we do? No, before you started thinking, in fact, everything that God has to do, he did within the first 6 days of creation. He settled everything that concerns you. Now it is for you to do what? To receive. Praise the Lord. Now, so you must understand that God does not just start thinking about how to get things to you when you ask from the foundations of the earth. He knew that a time will come that you will need those things and then make provisions for them. So, what are we saying? You need to understand, according to Ephesians, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is what? It's a gift of God. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest anyone should do what? Should boast. You know? So let's understand that very well. For by grace you have been saved. So everything we need from God, listen to me, grace has made it available. Everything. Everything you need from God that is in line with the will of God for your life. Grace and means available. Everything. both spiritual and physical needs, financial, all that you need. Grace has made it available. But can I tell you something? You can't assess them by any other way except by faith. There's no other way to assess it except by faith. And that's where the frustration comes in. I read some scriptures to you that will help you to understand that. No, from the foundations of the earth, God had made provision for men. Now, at the creation, man was the last thing God created. He had created everything that man will need before man was created on the sixth day. And after that, God rested. Now, even after the fall of man, when God picked on a man called Abraham, if you read Genesis chapter 12, let's go to Genesis chapter 12, and I want to point out something out there for you. Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will show you. You're not going to look for it. I will show it." Now look at verse 2. He says, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the family of the earth shall be blessed." Now see, God had made provision for Abraham. It is for Abraham to do what? To receive. He said, "I will do all this for you. I will, I will, I will, I will." And that has not changed about God. Up until now, he has made provision for you. Now, but Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, see, and the Bible says that, "So Abraham departed as the Lord has what? Spoken to him." Spoken to him. The only problem Abraham had was, and Lot went with him. That was the problem. And Lot gave Abraham a lot of problem. Now, see, so all this provision that God made for Abraham in the book of Genesis 1 to 3, it can be there. But if Abraham have not done verse 4, you would never heard about it. It would never have materialized. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Until Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. So grace has made provision for Abraham in terms of blessings. He said, "I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless anyone that bless you. I will curse anyone that curse you. And in you all the earth shall be blessed." All that provision came by grace, which we call a merited favor. But Abraham had to activate it by faith. And what did he do? He departed. He moved as God has spoken. Praise the Lord. Now, so if you read other passages of the Bible, let's also read Jeremiah 29:11. Well, let's read it in a message, a scripture that we all know very well. Now, see how God puts it. It says, God speaking here, he said, "I know what I am doing. I have it all what? Planned out." So you see what I'm saying? I have it all planned out. I know what I'm doing. And he's talking about your life. He said, "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out." And see the plan he has for? Plan to take care of you. Not to do what? Abandon you. Plan to give you the future that you hope for. Amen. So when God is saying everything about your life, have it all planned out. And he says, "Look, I know what I'm doing." So some of the plans of God does not look good in your sight. They don't look like what you expect. They don't look close to what you want. But God says, "I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing." You know, sometimes you have offers that are even far better than what God is placing before you. And it's just all the tricks of the devil to get you confused. Praise the Lord. Another scripture, 2 Peter 1:3, says, "As his divine power had given to us all things that pertains to what? Life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." So everything is divine power has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. And these things are made available, listen, through the knowledge of him. Talking about through the knowledge of who? Jesus. Praise the Lord. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, He said, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Take note of that. 2 Peter 1:3 says, through the knowledge of him, talking about Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. So what am I trying to say this evening? Grace has made everything that we need for life and for godliness available to us. It's available. The only thing left is to receive them or to know how to receive them. Let me illustrate it with salvation. In the book of Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Titus 2:11. Can we read that together? It's on the screen up there. Can we read that together? Want to read now. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many men? All men. But you and I know that all men are not saved. Abi? So if grace had made salvation available to all men, and all men are not saved, you know that grace alone is not enough to save us. Everything that grace had made available had to be activated by every individual. How? By faith. Everybody had to activate it. Grace made provision, but the activation is done by each and every one of us. Now, every one of us who was here this evening, that's how you got born again. Grace had made salvation available or has appeared to all men. And one day, you came to this altar or you somewhere else, or you had the gospel, you had the good news, and you activated it. Amen. That was the day you received the gift that God made available for you. It had been there all the while. All this while it had been there. 1 John 2:2 says, He himself, talking about Jesus, is the sacrifice that atoned for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So grace had made salvation available to all men. All men are not saved because not all men has activated what God had made available by faith. Not all men. And the same way it is for salvation, it's for healing, everything. Everything in life God has made available for us, but the responsibility is for us to activate it. Jesus did not just die for the people he knew will accept him someday. He died for all sinners that will ever pass through this planet Earth about 2,000 years ago. And we see now what grace has done. It has brought salvation to all men. And this is God's part. Now, every man has to do their own part. And how will they do that? They activate it by faith. God is exactly the same towards every person who has ever lived on this planet Earth. God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't have. Acts 10:34, NLT. It says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism to anyone. So whatever you see God do for one person, he can also do for you. In the book of Romans 2:11, it says, God does not show favoritism. He doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't like anybody. He doesn't like you more than me. He doesn't like me more than you. He doesn't like us because of where we live or where we come from. He loves us all equally. Now, when it looks as if some people are getting advantage over you, it is because of what they know that you don't know. Praise the Lord. Now, God by grace has already provided healing for everybody. If you have seen him healed one person before of one sickness or the other, then you are also a candidate, as long as you're giving your life to Christ, to be healed. You know, but if that does not happen, that means that God shows favoritism. And God cannot show favoritism. So the problem does not lie with God. It lies with us. Amen. All right, so before we ever ask for anything, He already supplied it over 2,000 years ago, whatever those things might be. But what we need is to understand our part, and our part is to activate it by faith. Now, I say true biblical faith is simply your positive response to what God has already provided by grace. So when we talk about faith according to the word of God, it is response to what God has provided by faith. Another definition that I give faith, I say faith is acting on what you believe. On what you believe. And what you believe must line up according to the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and the continuous hearing of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, when you see that and you understand that, so our faith does not move God, like people claim to. It doesn't move God, nor make him do anything that you want him to do. If grace has not been available, there's nothing your faith can do to make it happen. Praise the Lord. All right, so we look at one example in Acts 14, chapter 8, and I'll go to where God wants me to dwell a little this evening. Acts 14, 8, and I read from 8 to 10. Acts 14, 8, and it reads, he said, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man had Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, verse 10, said in a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Now, if you look at this story very well, you will say Paul is a mighty man of God. But that was not what really happened here. If you go back to verse 8, the Bible says that, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Verse 9 says, this man did what? This man did what? Had Paul speaking. And I can imagine what Paul was saying. Maybe teaching that by the stripes of Jesus you'll be made whole. I can imagine him saying that might fulfill what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Matthew 8:17, that he took your infirmities and bore your sickness, and he was teaching along this line. And the Bible says this man, observing him, Paul now began to observe him intently and seeing, so faith can be seen when a man begins to observe in the word of God. Amen. Amen. So he looks as if it was Paul that healed the man, but the Bible says it's a combination of the two of them. The man sat down and was hearing. My brother, I want to make an appeal at this point. Take time, every opportunity you have to hear the word of God on a Sunday service, at the Bible studies, home fellowships, Sunday school, take advantage of it. They are deposits of things that will trigger out of it one day, if you keep at it. But you see, what we have is that people are one leg in, one leg out. Today I'm in, tomorrow I'm out, then there's pressure, then I run back and I run forth, and then you don't get the kind of result you want. Now, what God really wants me to share with you, I want to share about 7 or 8 things to you that can make you have a better understanding of how to receive from God. And that's where I'm going to stop. About 7 or 8 things. Anyway, my time finished. How far I've gone, I'll stop. But I'll try to see if I can finish everything. Number one thing you need to understand, if you want to have a better understanding of how to receive things from God, number one thing you should activate is avoid ignorance. You can't afford to be ignorant of the word of God. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. You must strive to know God. You must do everything possible. You know, some people are ignorant of the fact that, you know, they're ignorant. They just think we are like this, that, oh, once a man dies, that's the end. You know, people say things like, even Christians say things like, we're like cat, we're like dog. When a man died, that's the end. Now, but you need to know the truth that a man is a spirit being. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Amen. The real me is not what you're seeing. It's a body. If you ever read the story of Lazarus and the rich man, you'll find out that after their bodies were buried here, they still identify themselves in heaven and in across heaven, the other guy in hell. Amen. So the real you is your spirit man. And you need to know that you're a spirit being. And if you don't understand that, things of the Bible may not be clear to you. If you think you're just a body, one day I will die and everything will end. No, sir. Everything does not end here. Everything does not end here. Whether you know God or you don't know God, everything does not end here. So, number one thing you need to know if you want to receive from God is that you need knowledge. Avoid ignorance. Don't be ignorant. You know, and one of the greatest things we have as human beings is that we don't like reading. I was at the airport yesterday to pick one of the pastors, one of the sons of our pastor. And then I noticed people struggling with their baggage coming out. And I said to Pastor, I know where they're struggling with their baggage. Because to get a cart to put your load, you need to pay $6 to get the cart. And in all sincerity, it's not as if we don't want to pay, but some of them don't know. Like me, it was because I know, so each time I'm traveling back home, I keep like $10, $20 in my purse so that when I get to the airport, I have something to pay for that. But you can imagine if all I had is Naira and I show up at the airport, I will have no choice than to drag my luggage the way they were driving it. So when I said that to Pastor, Pastor said, do you know that those things are available on the internet? You could go check it out. So if you're going to a country, you should at least read about what you're going to encounter when you get to the airport. Well, a lot of people don't bother about that. Guess what most people do? When we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. And then sometimes you get there and there's no bridge. And then you sink. Ignorance is a terrible thing. Number two thing I'd like to talk about. Get to know what God has done for you in this life. You need to know. You need to study to know what God has made available for you. You need to study to know what God has made available for you. You need to study to know what God has made available for you. One of the things I always tell my brethren in my church is that you can't learn how to swim when you are sinking. That's all. I don't know whether that's how I say. You're already in the river, you're sinking. Then you're trying to learn how to swim. You'll be too late. You will drown. You will drown. You learn how to swim before you get close to the river. And me, I don't know how to swim. So I don't get close to the river. There was a time I went for a training somewhere in the U.S. I went somewhere. I can't remember the place now. And then they said we should go whale watching. I said, are the whales in a zoo or something? They said, no. They'll put us in a big ship, and they will take us right deep into the ocean, and then they will trigger up the whales, and they'll be jumping out of water, and then we'll see them live. I said, what if they jump into our boat? They say, it can't happen. And then they say, how much? They say, $50. I said, no, I will pay $50 to go and take a chance. I don't know how to swim. So, get knowledge, brethren. Get it. Try to find out what God has done for you. Now, what I found out about most Christians is that they like to learn how to swim when they are sinking. When they hear that they are sick in their body. Oh, and then they finally found out that this sickness, that when they hear things like, well, nobody has ever survived this kind of thing before. Then they pick up the Bible. Or they call pastor. What can we do? And then they begin to pray. And at that point, you can't pray prayer of faith like that. The prayer you pray is prayer of desperation. You don't want to die. And you're just desperate. So we learn how this thing works before we get to a position where we begin to find ourselves in difficult times. 1 Corinthians 2:12, it said, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by who? By God. There are things, part of the things that have been freely given to you is good health. Part of the things that have been freely given to you is long life. Activate it now. You know, I said to people, don't learn how healing works now before you fall sick. Learn how it works. Know what God has made available for you. I was listening to a message back home sometimes by Kenneth Copeland. And he said he got out of a meeting in those days, like a meeting of Kenny Higgins. And he said one woman who was 65 was grumbling behind, him as they walk out of the hall along the aisle. And he said, how come God died for me 2,000 years ago and I'm just finding out now? And she was like 65. You know, if you don't seek for knowledge, you will never find out. One of my pastor's friends in Nigeria told me, he goes to one of the big churches in Nigeria, and they were doing evangelism in their community around their church. And he saw a 70-something-year-old woman sitting at the balcony of his house overlooking the road. And he said to the woman, he said, Mama, can we come and preach the gospel to you? The woman said, no, me too, I'm a Christian, I go to church. He said, well, but all the same, can we come and share with you? That's what the mama told her to come up. And then the guy came up and he said to him, Mama, unless you are born again, you can't make heaven. And the woman said, is that the Bible? He said, sure. So she brought out the Bible to put to her. He said, the woman got very angry. He said, is this how I'm going to die without giving born again? My pastor never told me I need to give my life to Christ. You know? And a lot of people are in that dilemma. Yours may not be that I'm not. Okay, you understand you'll be born again, you understand something. But there are other things that you're like that too. That they've told you, you did, you just felt you don't need it. There are things they've shared with you, you just felt, well, I don't need it. And I understand. Because, I mean, if I use myself as an example, what pushed me to understand divine healing, can I tell you? My wife worked with government. And then she came back home one day. And they say there's medical provision for me and for four of our children, but not for the husband. They say, but for the men, they say their wives and their four children. He says, so we're going to fight them to make sure they include our husband. I said to her, I said, they've done enough. Don't worry. Leave me out of it. Ah, my wife and three children. So you know what that means? Till our children go to 20, medical expenses were paid by the government for her and our children. So I said, if they take care of the children, I'll go to the great physician myself. And I found out he works for me. And brethren, that's right, I worked for me for 31 years. Because I found out that hospital bills are very expensive. For good hospitals in Nigeria, very, very expensive. I said, if government will pay for my wife and my children, then let me go to God. I started studying how it works. Until today, I don't have a need for it. Because I know how it works. Knowledge is very crucial of what God has done for you. Look at Philemon 1. Philemon has only one chapter, verse 6. Give me King James. He says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Don't forget the first two verses we read when we're talking about what grace has made available. Now, see, grace has made so many things available, but the Bible is saying in this place, see how I put it in my own version. I said that the communication, the process of communicating of thy faith has become effectual, that is, producing an intending effect by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know what that scripture is saying? You must first of all acknowledge that those things are available for you. And then you. Amen. You must first of all acknowledge it before it can be activated. So when my wife told me that, I activated by his grace, healing. I said, look, it is made available. I can access it. I can access it. And so when I'm attacked, sometimes I still foresee it, but I resist it with the word of God. One of my favorite scriptures of the Bible is Matthew 8:17. And I keep standing on it. And that's always worked. And to keep walking. Because the word of God. And it cannot fail. So we need to have the knowledge of God has been available for us. Number three, you must be fully persuaded. Now, some people know what God has said, but the persuasion is not there. They're not fully persuaded. They know that God can heal. They have seen God heal. But when it comes to them, they are not fully persuaded. And the reason why it's not working is because you're not fully persuaded. Your first point of call is not God. Your first point of call are other means. And when those ones look as if they're not working, you come back and say, well, let's see whether it will work. Let's see whether it will work. It doesn't work that way. There must be full persuasion. I read a story for you in the book of Numbers. The Bible said the Israelites, when they came to spy the land, 10 out of the 12 were not persuaded. Only Caleb and Joshua were. Verse 30, Numbers 13, 30. He said, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Go on, 31. But the men who had gone up, now listen, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now see the report, go on. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had gone to spy out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so are we in their sight. Now, see the report they brought back. That will take me to my next point. Be careful who you identify with. Be careful who you listen to. 10 out of 12 give them a bad report. Listen, in this kingdom, majority does not carry the vote. It is what God says that matters. It is not everybody is thinking this way. Find out for yourself what the Bible says. Because of what the 10 said, the persuasion was no more there. And of course, you can read the rest of the story. But look at the opposite in the life of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, verse 19, I'm just reading from, it says, and not being weak in faith, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21. And being, give me this one in King James Version. King James, verse 21. Verse 21 in King James Version. King James Version says, I'm being fully persuaded that what he has promised, God was able to perform. He was fully. Abraham was fully persuaded. And you know what helped Abraham to be fully persuaded? He was not listening to what people were saying. He was listening to the voice of God. He knew that if God has said it, he has what it takes to bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's another thing you need to take note of. Who is saying what you are listening to? Who is saying what you are listening to? Who is saying it? Does the person you are listening to, does he have the capacity to do what he says he will do? So why are you listening to them? You're like, if I tell you now, you have a need for $50,000, and then I say, don't worry, I will help you. Will you take me seriously? Hey, this man lives in Nigeria. Maybe say 50,000 naira. I don't know whether I understand. The first thing is, does he have the capacity to do what he's saying? But when God says, I will do something in your life, he has what it takes to do what he says he will do. If that thing is not there, he has the power to create it. That's why the only person that says something and you can rely on is God. Other men can do so, no doubt. But you can fully rely on is God. Truth comes from him. Praise the Lord. Number four, get your information from the real source. Get your information from the real source. And that's God. You see, And that's the problem this trailer has, that they have. When they spied the land, they were not listening to God. Caleb and Joshua were listening to God. And they said, if God delights in us, he will do what? He will give us the land. Listen, stop taking instructions from men. They can't help you. Go to God and find out what he wants to do with your life. Let me make you laugh. And this is a true life story. It happened some years ago. I mean, true life story. If you want to know exactly who you are, go to God. If you want to know what God will do in your life, go to God. In fact, that's where fasting and praying comes in. To seek the face of God, to know what God wants to do in your life, what God will do with you, what God is taking you to. Now, true life story. This young man, I was a lecturer there, was a student in the school I was lecturing. He was a Christian. He'd been a Christian for like when he was like 13 or 14, and then he's like 20-something. And he said, nothing is happening in his life. Everything was just going from bad to worse. And then, so he said, I'm not going to be a Christian again. And we tried to persuade him. We said, you are facing God that things are like this. If you're not bad God, it will go worse. He said, I don't care. But guess what happened? I mean, true life story. He went to an herbalist, an Ifa priest. And he said, he should help me check out why his life is like this. You know, an Ifa priest, the man brought out something, threw it on the floor, and looked at the thing, and looked at the boy, looked at the thing, looked at the boy, looked at the thing, looked at the boy. He said, I'll say it in English, but it's more fun in Yoruba. He said, young man, where are you coming from? He said, I live in this town. He said, no, where are you coming from? There is a group of people you have been relating with before. He said, yes. He said, listen, I don't care who those people are. He said, if they cannot help you there, we can't help you here. Run back to where you're coming from. So he needed an Ipa priest to tell him his true identity. He said, go back to where you're coming from. If they cannot help you there, we can't help you here. I mean, true life story. The guy came to church and testified by himself. He said, so I'm back. I mean, if you now go to the devil to tell you, go back to God, they can't help you there. What are you doing here? Well, you're laughing. Most of us are like that. It's just that they never tell you who you are. He was just privileged that the devil, the agent of the devil, told him he has to go back to where he's coming from. Don't take your identity from the wrong source. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Give me that in NLT. Colossians 2, 8. He said, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies. Philosophies are ideologies and principles by which you live by. He said, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and not from spiritual powers of the world. Rather than from Christ. So there are ideologies and principles that look good. They look sound, but they're not from God. They'll put you to trouble. Listen to God. Go back to God and take your source from God. Start getting the information of your life by relating with the Holy Spirit. The sources where you get information are your flesh, from the devil and from others, friends and people around you. Don't take information from them. Go to God. You are a child of God. The Bible says, he said, my sheep, they hear my voice. Seek this fellowship of the Holy Spirit to the point that you hear his voice. Seek it. And know how he speaks to you. There are about 8 or 9 ways by which you can hear God. But there is 1 or 2 that may be peculiar to you. Seek it to hear God. Brother, it's very important. If not, man will toss you left and right. It will deceive you. Your body will give you wrong information about what God is doing in your life. You may have pains, you may have aches, but the Bible says, by the stripe of Jesus, you'll be healed. You'll be healed. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Hear God. Try. And you see, can I tell you another truth? Don't. You know, what most Christians do is when they become desperate that they now want to activate hearing God. It doesn't work that way. If you have been walking with him and you understand his voice, everything goes the same way. It goes the same way. And it begins to do great and mighty things for you. You relate with him like a friend relates with another friend. You know, when we had this theme last year, because we shared the same thing with you here. And at the beginning of the year, we normally pray, and we're praying with this theme. And you know, I just began to have a better understanding of relating with God. And then I said, Lord, my car is getting old and I need another one. And I just began to thank God for it. And I heard God say, I'll make it happen for you. You know, cars are very, very expensive in Nigeria. So it's not as if we buy new ones. We just buy fairly used ones. And I decided to buy a big one that could at least travel easily. And then 3 weeks after that prayer, I began to hear God said to me, it's like I was praying one night in my sitting room and I fell off, dozing off, and then I saw like somebody put the key in my hands. And I went, I told my wife, I told them in church, I said, it's like God's going to give me another car. Then it happened the second time. Then it happened the third time. You know, but once you understand that voice, it becomes very clear to you. And I started sharing it. I said, I'm going to have another car very soon. And then one day, someone very close to me came to me. He said, I have this Toyota Land Cruiser. Maybe the equivalent is about Lexus 5 something here. He said, I have this and I want to sell. I said, how much do you want to sell it? Because I used to sell cars in those days, but I don't do that anymore. He said, he said, I want to sell for $13 million. And I said, okay, where is the car? He said, can you help me sell? I said, I want to see the car because I too need a car. I need a vehicle. He said, by the way, if you need it, then I can give it to you for $3 million. And I said to him, even the $3 million I don't have. And he said, okay, you can have it and pay at $1 million three times at your convenience. So I said, good deal. He said, you should come and pick the car. I said, I should come and pick the car at your house because you want to sell car too. You know, he said, don't worry, I'll bring it to your house or to your church. Anyway, you want. Now, but you see, that is not even as interesting to me as this. After I got the car, I started driving it. Then they said the master brake and all the brake system had a problem. And I took it to the mechanic, and he says I needed $500,000 to fix it. And I said, guess what? Our God is good. Then I called the guy that sold the car. I said, you sold me a bad car. I said, you're looking for a mechanic. He said, the brake system is bad. He said, no, take it to my own mechanic that I was in before. So I took it to him. The guy confirmed the same thing. Guess what? I have not even paid him a penny. And he said to me, I will give you a 1-year warranty on the car. So for 1 year, he was fixing the car for me. It just expired in March. Every problem, every service, he was fixing it. Isn't God good? Now, but you need to hear God. You need to hear God. And that's what I'm stressing. So, get your information from who? From God. But you know, on the physical, some of you drive cars here. You don't take your messages to a Toyota to fix for you, do you? You don't do that. So why are you taking the issues of your life to somebody who doesn't create you? Who didn't create you? Number five. I have 5 more minutes. Okay, let me take the last one so that I'll just stop there. Let me go to number 7. When you pray, what do you expect? Now, growing up as a believer, one of the things they taught me as a Christian is that when you pray, I don't know whether I had this before, God can say yes, God can say no, God can say wait. Have you heard that thing before? Which part of the Bible says that? What I saw in the Bible in Jeremiah 33:3 is a call on me, and I will what? Answer you. Jeremiah 33:3 is a call on me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's what I'm going to do for you. Let me close with this. See what God says in the book of Matthew 7:7, and I'm going to read from 7 to 11. That's where I'm going to stop. Matthew 7:7. Now give me a New King James or King James. Matthew 7:7. Start from verse 7. Now look at this. I like us to read together. Look up. Can we read together now? Please go back to verse 7. This is where I'm going to stop. He said, ask and shall be given. Does it look complicated? You know, we had a prayer meeting yesterday, and Pastor was saying that the word of God is so simple that you need a theologian to confuse you. He said, ask and to be given unto you. Seek and shall find. Knock and be opened to you. Verse 8. Verse 8 says, he said, for everyone, does that include you? He said, for everyone who ask, what happens to them? They receive. And he who seeks finds. And he who knocks, it will be what? Open. Now, look at verse 9. Now, God is now comparing himself to us. He said, or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him stone. How many parents are here? Wave your hands to me. Is anybody here? Put your hands, please. Anybody, when your son asks for bread, we look for stone, hard one, and give it to him. Do you know, even when we don't have money, we still make provision. We'll look for, we beg, we borrow. He said, now, you men, you know how to give bread to your children and not stone. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. He said, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? He says, if you then, being evil, amen. Now, are you catching something here? He said, if you then being evil, you're not good. Only God is good. I mean, Jesus told us that. He said, only God is good. He said, if you being evil, know how to give good gift unto your own children. He said, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask? The place of prayer is crucial. And God is assuring us tonight, assuring you and I, that look, listen, if you ask, you will receive. He said, I don't know why you're thinking about me like this. You make me look as if I'm a bad father. You make me look as if I don't want to give to you. But the real issue is that we don't get some things right. And then it looks as if God is bad. But God is a good God. If you admit with me, say amen. He said, I'm a good father. I've not seen a parent. My own children, when they come to me, I do everything possible to give them what they want. When I can't meet those needs, I make a promise. And I come back and fulfill it. He said, you, being evil, know how to get good with your children. Why do you now come to me and think I won't give you what you want? Why? So, we need to change our perception about who God is. One of the things I wanted to share that I didn't have time to is what lens are you looking at God from? If you look at God from the lens of the old covenant, where God was judging people and dealing with people, dealing with under the law, then you have a different perspective about God. But when you look at God with the example of who Jesus is when he was on earth, especially if you remember that story in the book of John chapter 8, when one woman was caught in adultery, in the very act, and they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, he said, oh God, we caught her in the very act. And that story is very pitiful. I don't know how you can catch one person in the act of fornication or adultery. Only one. So for me, I believe it was a setup. And then they brought it to Jesus, and Jesus said, okay, Okay, the law says, this is what the law says. Anybody caught in this situation must be stoned to death. He said, what are you saying, Jesus? Jesus showed us who exactly our Father is, how much he loves us, how much he wants to help us, how much he wants to deliver you from trouble, from your supervisors at work, from your boss at work, how much he wants to set you free from their clutches and their anger. And he said, okay. If I read one version of the Bible, the Bible says, anyone who has not committed this kind of sin, let him cast the first stone. The Bible says all of them walked away from the youngest to the eldest. Everybody were all fornicators. It's just that their home were covered. And so, when everybody had gone, Jesus said, where are your accusers? All gone. He said, neither do I accuse you. Or go and do what? He loves you, brother. And he wants to give you everything you desire. It's just that you need to know how to approach it. I pray that God will open our eyes of understanding. The summary of all this is, the more of God you want to know is a function about how much time you're going to spend in the Word of God. How much time? There's a summary. How much of God you want to know is how much time you want to spend in the Word of God. Because, see, God wants to reveal himself. It's like, I want you to know me. Come and spend time with me so that you can know me. That's what he's saying. And that's why this is our theme. Fellowship of Jesus is very crucial. Because the Holy Spirit that will reveal God to you is him. That's the summary of all I'm saying. How to receive from God. What to receive from God. What you need for life and godliness. He knows it. The Bible says the Holy Spirit searches the mind of God so that he can reveal them to you. What God wants to do in your life. Brethren, we need to cultivate the habit of spending time in the Word of God. In the Word of God. We need to create time in coming to fellowship like this. That's why the Bible says, and that's why I'm going to close, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't study, it will be wrongly divided. If you don't study, men will confuse you. Men will confuse you. And I was sharing with Pastor just last few days, I said, twice God has spoken to me. I was reading a particular author, I don't want to mention anybody's name. And the Lord said to me, he says, this man's book, keep studying it. He said, anything you don't understand in it, it is because you have not grown to that level. So when you grow to that level, you will understand. And then at a point, I got to a point I was so confused in my life. And the Lord said to me, concerning our pastor, he said, keep listening to him. He said, anything you hear him say is correct. If you don't understand, because you have not grown to it. Twice in my life. Now, have you studied to that point? God will tell you, keep doing this. Everybody has to get to that point. Because God wants to help us. He wants to. And now, the author, I was reading his book. I went back to them recently. And I found out that everything people are teaching now about grace and faith, I can tell you, Kenny Higgins was a book. One of my brothers gave me a year old as a Christian. And so everything you read in this book, if you don't understand, don't discard it. You have not grown to it. But now that I've grown a little, I went back to them and I found out that I can understand better. Brother, if you want to maximize your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, open your Bible and begin to read and ask him to explain things to you. And then begin to do so. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Shall bow their heads as we pray. I'd like to talk to God and say, Father, help me.